Good morning. I want to invite you back tonight for Thomas. Mr. Thomas will be speaking tonight on 1 John, the love of God. It's always a great opportunity to see our young people step up and to lead like that. Yes, we also had another young man last night who stepped up, and that's Hunter. He did a great lesson last night, his first Devo. It was an amazing lesson. So it's always exciting. These are the kind of things that make you grow as Christians, yes, to see our young people get up and do those things. Well, you know, today, if you were in Bible class, you learned that we're going to speak about Stephen and his stoning. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago, I spoke on a Sunday night, and I spoke about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And at the very beginning of that chapter 8, we see that the church has been persecuted and they're scattered. And I kept going back to that very last verse of Acts chapter 7. And I wanted to know more about Stephen, about who he was, what made him do what he did. To stand before the Sanhedrin court, to stand up in their face and say, "You stiff-necked people, you people, you don't understand, your hearts are calloused." He stood up before them, said, "You have forgotten the history. You have forgotten the history of Moses, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Jacob. You've forgotten all those things. You've forgotten that you killed all the prophets. You did those things because they were preaching of something to come, something that was more powerful than the old law." And so when we think about that, we think about what made Stephen do that. What made him stand before them and point his finger at them and say, "You stiff-necked people"? Where is our confidence as the church of Christ today? We see the church back then, the church was persecuted. They were scattered everywhere. They went about preaching the gospel, sharing God's word, putting themselves out there to share God's word. A stoning. You know, growing up, I had a couple friends that, you know, when they showed up, you usually got in trouble. There was always something. You know, when you have a friend named Bubba, that says it all, right? Okay, well, Bubba was a special kind of character, and I still know Bubba today. He's changed a little bit, but he's still not carrying a rock like he used to. See, we would be outside playing at night. We'd be under the street light. We had a basketball goal put up on the telephone pole, and they hated that. We did that on the light pole. But we'd be out there playing, and it, you know, if Bubba and Donnie showed up, you knew either you better start running from them, or they're going to do something where you're going to have to run, you know. And so Bubba would always pick up a rock, and it's always a challenge to him to knock out that street light. And no matter the distance, he could do it. First try, he had an arm on him, but he never played baseball. He never used it for anything good. He could always throw things, you know. And so whenever Bubba would get up there, he'd throw it. "I got to knock that light out." Well, if, of course, he knocks the light out. What happens to us? Well, we either have to go in or go find another light pole to hang out under. But Bubba was this character that just, you know, "What are you going to do tonight?" That's what we would ask him, you know. "Come on, do we need to leave now, or are you going to give us a chance to you know, get away before somebody gets in trouble?" You know, when I think about Stephen and his stoning, could you imagine dying by that, by a rock being thrown at you? Could you imagine that because of your faith, you're killed? Because of your faith, you're done. But the example that Stephen showed, you know, we see in the very first verse, chapter 8, the church was persecuted and they scattered. But what happened? Well, if we go all the way back to Acts chapter 2, what happens? The day of Pentecost, we see Peter stand up. We see him stand up in verse, let's see here. Let me open my Bible here. We see him stand up in verse 22. He's talking to him. He said, "Men of Israel, to this Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Remember these things, men of Israel. Then he goes on, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose. All right, when he goes back before the Sanhedrin, he's telling them, guys, don't you remember what was being taught to you? Think about that. He's standing before the Sanhedrin court. Don't you remember? The only thing they did was that they got hysterical, not historical. They didn't want to hear what Stephen was telling them. He says, but God raised him up from the dead. Let me go back up a little bit. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death. The grave cannot contain him. And the Sanhedrin, they still don't understand this. They don't understand who this Jesus of Nazareth is. And he goes on, he says, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said that about him. So when we see, where did Stephen get the confidence to do these things? Where did Stephen have the knowledge to be able to stand before them and argue with truth? You know, he's being charged with blasphemy. He's saying he's telling lies. He's speaking against Moses and the old law. That's the only way they could get him in front of the court. They had to tell lies about him. But you know what? When we go back in Acts, we see so many examples of men standing before the Sanhedrin court and saying, hey, I'm going to preach this Jesus of Nazareth, whether you like it or not. And that's the way our faith should be today. Our faith should be willing to stand before man, yes, to preach the gospel. The consequences are irrelevant. Amen. We have to have the heart and the passion, as Stephen had, to stand before people that you know are going to kill you. They're going to stone you to death. What is your purpose? Is your purpose just to be a knot on a log, to do nothing? Or is it to be able to stand up and stand before God and proclaim Jesus Christ? You know, when we go on through Acts, and we looked at Acts chapter 3, we see Peter and John, they heal the crippled beggar. And on in the further in the chapter there, they're discussing this with the crowd. They said, well, you know, it's not us that's healing them. It's God. So the confidence that we have in Christ, the confidence to know that what has been taught to us by our forefathers is true. Then we look in the chapter 4. We see them get called before the Sanhedrin court. And you start off in verse 2. It says, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. So we see through the persecution, through the troubles, that the church was growing. We see on the day of Pentecost, we see 3,000 added to the church. And now we see another 2,000 added to the church. Because men are willing to step up and share the gospel. Willing to put themselves out there to be Christ-like. To be that light. Then when we jump on over to verse 7, it says, by what power, what name did you do this? They didn't shy away, did they? They didn't just sit down and shut up. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to this, with the Holy Spirit. Do we have the Spirit in us? When we put on Christ in baptism, what happens? The Spirit indwells in us. And he goes on, he says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, all right, you are the people, you are the guys who are in control here. I want you to listen to me. He says, rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you all are the people of Israel. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when you crucified, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. He keeps reminding them of this. He says, whom you crucified, he died. Yes, he died, but he raised from the dead. He's what gives us hope for today. And he goes on, he says, that this man stands before you healed. God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So we see another account. We see how God is working through the apostles, through the book of Acts. And they're standing before man and saying, Jesus of Nazareth, he is our Savior. Willingness to put their necks on the line. Do we put our necks on the line? Do we stand before men? And as we jump over into Acts chapter 5, we see the apostles being persecuted again, standing before the Sanhedrin. It says, then the high priest, this is going in verse 17, it says, then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Why were they filled with jealousy? Why? Because we see the church is growing. We see that they're attracting people to them. They're excited about something. They don't have control over it. They're jealous. It says, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts. Where did he say? Go hide in the closet. Go sit on your rear end. No, he said, go stand in the temple courts. Go in front of those folks and share the gospel. Share Jesus of Nazareth. Be confident in what you're doing. Be confident because you have faith as Stephen had faith. You have the Holy Spirit as Stephen had the Holy Spirit. You have these things. You have the tools you need to stand before men to preach the gospel. And he goes on, he says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. Not just a portion of it, not just half of it, but the full message of what God has done for us by sending his son to die for us. The full message. Don't shortchange it. Don't do anything like that. Tell everything that you know. Then as we jump on down to verse 27. It says, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach this in this name. He said, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. I think they were doing a pretty good job. They were doing what they were supposed to do. He says, we told you not to do those things. You know, we've been there as kids. I told you not to do that. I told you not to do that, and you do it anyway. What about the world as we see it today? The media as we see it today? They're telling us, don't do that. Don't speak about Christ. Don't speak about what God expects of man. Are we sitting down when it's our time to stand up? He goes on, to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They know that he died. They just don't want to believe he rose again. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Where's our backbone? Our backbone is in Christ. Our backbone is in the faith that we have in him. The willingness to stand before men with stones. The willingness to stand up and be able to argue with them with truth, compassion, and love that Christ had for us. So we see Stephen. Who is this Stephen? We go back to Acts chapter 6. We see that there's an issue going on in the early church. Well, there's some widows that are being left behind. They're not being taken care of. And so the apostles decide, well, we need to get some men, Some men full of faith, honor, and of the Holy Spirit that can help these people, can take care of this. We don't need to be waiting tables, they said. We need to be doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, out preaching God's word. So they appoint these seven men. We get a glimpse of one of them, Philip in Acts chapter 8, with the Ethiopian eunuch. But we also get a big glimpse of Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and 7. You know, as they say here, it says, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip. So we see that they had confidence in him. Do we have that confidence? Are we willing to stand up before men? Are we willing to do the things that we're supposed to do? Are we willing to have the passion of Christ? Now we see that Stephen's being seized. He's being taken before the Sanhedrin court again. He's being taken there and questioned about what he's doing. You know, we've read in the past about, you know, didn't I tell you not to speak about him? Didn't I tell you not to speak of this Jesus? And yet Stephen's not only doing the will that he's been asked to do as far as taking care of the widows and everything, but he's also preaching Jesus. He's doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. And he goes on in verse 9. I believe that's verse 8. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miracles, miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedom, synagogue of freedom, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene in Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen. They began to argue with Stephen, but they couldn't defeat his wisdom, his knowledge of God. You ever had that? You're talking with somebody and you're telling them the truth, and they can't grasp it. You're like, you knothead, what are you thinking? Can't you hear the truth? With wisdom, he was able to tell them what God is about. He says, these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom and the Spirit by whom he spoke. It wasn't Philip. I'm sorry, it wasn't Stephen at that time. It was the Spirit. It was God working through him. There was a set purpose, remember? Then they secretly, they couldn't defeat his wisdom. So they had to come up with a lie. They had to come up with a lie to be able to accuse him of something, to be able to stand before their peers and say, he's blaspheming. He's lying. He's speaking against Moses and the law. It says, then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses, people that would lie for them. This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place. I hope they can say that about me, that I never stop speaking about God. I never stop doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Not worried about the stone. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin court again. They produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us. All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Can you imagine that? This man's being charged with speaking against Moses and God, with false charges, things that aren't true. And they look up and they say, Stephen. And his face is lighting up like an angel. wouldn't you think that you're wrong at that point in time? Wouldn't you think that what you're doing is wrong? But we can be pig-headed. We can be stubborn. So we see Stephen, he says, well, let me start off again here. In chapter 7, the very first verse there, he says, then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? Well, Stephen, you know, he didn't just say, well, honey, I'm telling you the truth. No. He said, wait, let me remind you of what has happened. In chapter 7, it's almost 60 verses of him reminding them of the history of what has happened. And where we're at today, he says in the very beginning here, to this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people. God said, go to the land and I will show you. So we see that Abraham was charged with doing something that for all of us we couldn't do. Being sent to a foreign land where you know nothing, know nobody. You have no land, you have no inheritance there. And yet God charged him with it. Don't you remember that? He's saying, don't you remember what happened? How soon we forget. And I'll jump on down to verse 9. It says, because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave. We see jealousy coming up here again. We see it. It says, the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph. They said to him, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he made him the ruler over Egypt and all his place. He's reminding them of these things that have happened. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what is going on? Let's jump on over to verse 17 in chapter 7. He says, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise. Don't you remember that promise that God had talked about? The thing that I'm preaching now. Don't you remember this? The promise that he made. He said, as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. Then another king who knew nothing about Joseph became ruler of Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. So he keeps reminding them of the history. You know the history. You're going back and saying, I'm speaking against Moses, but you have forgotten what God has taught you. You have forgotten the most important things, the promises that were made. Going down to verse 39, we see, but our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. They told Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. As this fellow Moses who led us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. So we see this. He's just going back and he's saying, guys, don't you understand? I'm telling you everything that's happened. This is the Old Testament. He does the Old Testament from verse 1 to verse 60. He covers it all. He's reminding them of what his purpose is to be. And God has promised us that there would be a Savior. And this Savior has come. He has died, but he's been resurrected. So we go all the way down to verse 51 now. And we think about Stephen and his stoning. In verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked people. He says, with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not kill, did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. He's telling them, pointing at the Sanhedrin court. Now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. and you're complaining about me. You're saying I'm speaking against Moses. You say I'm lying. You say I'm doing these things. And here you are, you're standing up here, and you're not even obeying what God has told you to do. But as Stephen steps before them confidently, with wisdom and knowledge, with faith, and of the Holy Spirit, we see in verse 54, it says, "When they heard this, they were furious, gnashed their teeth at him." Can you imagine that? You know how you make somebody so mad, they just go, that kind of feeling. You've been there, hadn't you? I know you've been there, Ron. You know, that just, can you imagine that? Standing before them, they're just getting madder and madder at you. But why are they getting mad at you? Because you're telling the truth. He goes on, he says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God." After giving all this historical information, telling them all about the things that have happened in the past, and yet you haven't obeyed what God has done. And he's standing there before God, looking up into heaven. Looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand. And you think about this. This is the only example of Jesus standing at the throne of God. All other times it's sitting. Why is that? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But you see, Stephen, the importance of Stephen standing before this court, the importance of Stephen standing there for us today, for our church, for the Lord's church. For the Lord's church to grow, we have to have that confidence, that ability to be dispersed, to be scattered throughout the land, to be able to go out and do the things that he's expected us to do, to share his word. And he goes on, he says, "I see heaven open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city. You know, it was against the law for him to stone somebody at the city at the time. How ironic is that? "We're going to kill you. We're going to put you to death for speaking blasphemy against Moses and God. And yet they want to stone him." So they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their garments, laid their clothes at the feet of this young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. So as we're standing here before God, are we doing the things we're supposed to do? Are we avoiding the stoning? Are we running from that? Or are we standing up before man? You know, as I talked about earlier, Bubba. You know, Bubba throwing a rock. He always wanted to knock the light out. And we scattered. We ran for it. We didn't want to get in trouble. You know, when they stoned Stephen, they thought that they were going to knock the light of Christ out. They thought that they were going to smash the church. They were going to stop the growth of the church. But no, that's not what happened. As they stoned Stephen, what happened? They dispersed. The church was persecuted. Yes, that's where Saul comes in. But we see the church continue to grow. Through every example of the men going before the Sanhedrin court, what happened? The church grew. We think we have persecutions today. We don't face this. We face words. But are we willing to stand up now and to say no more to these things? Are we willing to stand up and be a Stephen? Be willing to put ourselves out there to preach his word? God has given us so much. He has given us a blessing of a church family to come to and to worship with, just as they did in the old church at the beginning in Acts chapter 2. So today, you have this opportunity. Those of you who are not Christians, those of you who have not obeyed what God has said, those of you who have chosen to avoid the question of why not today? But God has said to us, go and make disciples. So we are to stand before you today to ask you, have you not heard the word of God being preached? Have you not heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, the one who had died for us? Have you not heard those things? What's your decision? He says you have to hear the word of God. You have to believe it. Have you done those things? What hinders you from doing the right thing? And those of us as Christians today, where's our backbone? Where's our willingness to put ourselves out there? We need encouragement. We need to be strengthened as Stephen was strengthened by the word of God. We need to remember who is with us. God is with us. It's not about us. It's about Him who we serve. So I challenge you today as we stand and sing. Have you been?